You're listening to WFHB. This is Christine. I'm here in the studio with Alex Cameron and Roy Molloy. Welcome to Bloomington, guys.
Hey, Christine. And hello, Bloomington.
Yeah, hello, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're staying warm out there.
I think there's been a colder day this year, so we appreciate you taking the hike over here.
Yeah, it's been cold. I think it actually snapped. The Arctic blast happened as soon as we left New York to start the tour.
Are we mid-Arctic blast right now?
I wouldn't be surprised if we are.
Good to know. It's a wonderful feeling. Very, very refreshing. Very, invigorating.
Yeah, it keeps you on your toes.
You all are connected with the local label Secretly Canadian. Can you tell us a bit about how that connection came to be?
Yeah, we were touring through the United States in 2015 with a band called Foxygen. And I guess, in that sense, it did kind of come out of nowhere because we'd put out a record by ourselves with our own money, pressing it to vinyl. And we were kind of treating it like a business card. And then I think because we were on tour with Foxygen, who are on Jag, which is a label under the, within the Secretly family, we just had more and more people from the label coming down to the shows and checking it out. And by the time we were in Los Angeles at the end of the tour doing our own headline show, we were lucky enough to have Chris Swanson, who's part owner of the label, at the show, and we had a drink afterwards and started talking business, and it just sort of went from there.
Awesome. I'm really glad that came to be as it was. And can you tell us a bit of this? So you released two albums this year, Live in San Francisco, back in April in Miami Memory this past September. Can you tell us how or why Miami became prominent on this album?
Yeah, I think in some ways the city of Miami reminds me of home. You know, it has something to, a connection that's a thread between Sydney, the beaches, and Miami. It's also, in the same sense, completely alien, So the culture there was really shocking, but in a good way, it was very inspiring. And we played a show there supporting the Killers at the basketball arena there. And I guess I just kept going back and, for either vacations or for, special holidays. And I just, the more I went there and the more that I go there, the more that I feel connected to that city. It really represents for me, the kind of, debauchery and extreme luxury. But at the same time, having like a rich arts culture and a very kind of powerful and thriving immigrant community. I think that, it's this incredible energetic town that is also on the front line of climate change. So I kind of just wanted to write this love record that, takes place in a city and has my real memories sort of embedded in it, but is also, that city might not be there forever.
Sure. Well, it's an interesting kind of duality, both culturally and physically.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, we'll take a listen to that title track right now. This is Miami Memory by Alex Cameron. We'll be performing tonight at the Bishop. That was Miami Memory by Alex Cameron off of his recently released album, Miami Memory. And we have Alex Cameron and Roy Molloy here in the studio.
How's it going?
Howdy, folks.
And I noticed in a Paper Mag piece about Miami Memory I read that, Alex, you, when you played your partner, Jemima, a song that meant a lot to you, you'd tear up while playing it, which was described as the first good feeling, and the next best feeling was moving someone else to tears. Which songs from this album have really struck those emotional chords?
Well, I definitely think Miami Memory has moved me a lot, you know, the reception. It's the first time we put out a record, and I think it was like 7 days after the record came out, we played a show in, I think it was, you know, in the UK or in Amsterdam or something, and everyone was singing in the audience. And that's definitely the first time that's happened to us, for the music to hit so fast. So yeah, that song carries a lot of weight. It's the first time it's amazing that it happened, but I cried on stage the other night in Asheville, North Carolina, which was, really came out of nowhere. But I think there's a song called Too Far. People write to me about that song a lot, having it resonate with them. And then I think there's a song we're going to play later, Other Ladies, that definitely I know made Jemima cry when I first played it to her. So that was, it's really, you know, you just hope as a songwriter that you've got it right, you know, and that there's a connection to be made. And if it works, then there's no other feeling.
That's awesome. And I agree that both sonically and lyrically, they are all really beautiful songs.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And I had heard another interview of yours where you had mentioned where it's difficult to write about big topics like how to change the world or like world peace, but kind of taking these more personal narrative stories, I guess anyone can kind of put themselves into.
Mm.
In my experience and other fans that I know, it really resonates with them as well.
Yeah, I think both me and Roy in our writing, in whatever form it is, we value the specific, you know, and we value clarity and accuracy and honesty, you know. And I think that, you know, that would be sort of at the core of what we do as writers.
Sure. And a track from your previous album, Force Witnessed, I had read that the song Marlon Brando is about your hometown of Sydney, or at least connected to it in some way. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Marlon Brando is an interesting one because it's based on a character. It's from the perspective of a character who is more than likely inebriated, confused, insecure, and essentially lonely, but is having this moment of sort of extreme bravado, and is communicating with the people around him. I always picture that song taking place at a party, like a house party or something. And in Sydney, in about 2012, 2013, I don't know the exact time, but the local government started using alcohol-fueled violence as a catalyst to essentially destroy the nightlife in favor of foreign investment in property. You'd call it gentrification, I suppose, but Sydney was already a really, like, gentrified place. And the song Marlon Brando, in the song Marlon Brando, the character uses slurs and sort of extremely out of touch, misogynist, values to sort of complain in a way about why he isn't either the center of attention or the most desirable person to be with. And I guess I just wanted to write a song that would both encompass the mentality of someone who would get drunk and be violent, and also the type of politician that would shut down a city's nightlife in favor of investment and money. So it was kind of like, yeah, both ends of the spectrum in Sydney, the people that, you know, actively destroyed the nightlife with policy, and the people that were the catalyst for that policy.
I think that's a really interesting dual context to have, both kind of the catalyst of driving these lockout laws and then what happened, or at least just like what was grown as a result.
Mm. Yeah, and I mean, we've been very lucky. It's in this sort of subject matter, it takes an open-minded and intelligent, you know, and sensitive listener. And we've been lucky with our audience. They've been extremely sort of with it, on it, and really kind of, they get it, you know. And the song resonates, you know. And you know, it's always risky publishing, you know, ideas or characters that are essentially villains.
Mm-hmm.
But in this day and age, I think villains need to be written with intelligence and understanding, because we definitely need to understand bad people better.
Sure. We'll play a second track here. This is Divorce from Miami Memory by Alex Cameron. You're listening to Divorce by Alex Cameron off of Miami Memory. It's been really awesome to have you guys here at the station today.
Thank you for having us, Christine.
Absolutely.
Pleasure being here. Thank you.
Absolutely. And you can catch Alex Cameron, Roy Malloy, along with Holiday Sidewinder and Emily Panic tonight at the Bishop. The show starts at 9. And looking forward to catching you guys there tonight as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a full band, rocking hard. We love the Bishop. We love the people of Bloomington. We're ready to put on a show.
Yeah, very, very good, folks. Happy Tuesday. Hope to see you all out there.
Thanks, everybody.